Let's begin by saying our New Year verse. Ready? From the top.
Consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am holy.
Very, 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 very good. All right. Well, you should have a sheet in front of you by now that's blue. And if you knew to look, you could have cheated and read your year verse, but that's the reminder on the front. But on the inside cover, we've been tracking through the backside of the desert with the people of Israel as they came out of Egypt. And Exodus, meaning exit, they came out of Egypt. Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Some of those lovely places you naturally gravitate for your personal devotions. That's where we've been recently, uncovering some incredible things, or re-uncovering them, as the case might be. We've been talking about things that are holy. Actually, that whole word holy. God says, be holy, because I'm holy. And so, as we talked about the last couple of weeks, there's an awful lot of that word occurring, if I remember correctly, 73 times in the section from Exodus to Leviticus, and a whole lot more. What kinds of things are holy? And I just summarize them here. I probably missed a few. Some were a little awkward to word, but I got most of them. Things that are noted as holy in these four books, and you can just kind of scan that list there. A whole lot of things are holy. And then I gave you two rather typical examples in context. So let's look at the first one. This is straight out of Exodus 29. Do for Aaron and his sons everything I've commanded you. Moses is talking, but he's talking at the direction of the Lord. He says, do for Aaron. Aaron was the high priest to be, and his sons, the priestly line, everything I've commanded you, taking 7 days to ordain them. Sacrifice a bull each day. Bad day, bad year to be a bull. Sacrifice a bull each day as a sin offering to make atonement. Purify the altar by making atonement for it and anoint it to consecrate it. Do you see all these holy kinds of words? Ordain, atonement, sacrifice. Purify the altar by making atonement for it and anoint it to consecrate it. Boy, some more words. Atone, anoint, consecrate. For 7 days, make atonement for the altar and consecrate it. Then the altar will be most holy. And whatever touches it will be holy. And the second one, over in Numbers, after Aaron and his sons have finished covering the holy furnishings, here's what's going on. This is instruction for how the camp should move and take down the tabernacle. And they had all these instructions. You take down the curtain and you fold it over and this do this. So then this is kind of a summary. After Aaron and his sons, the priests that is, have finished covering the holy furnishings and all the holy articles, you know, the cups and saucers and candlesticks and all that. And when the camp of Israel is ready to move, these people, the Kohathites, are to come to do the carrying, but they must not touch the holy things or they will die. The Kohathites are to carry those things that are in the tent of meeting, but the Kohathites must not go in to look at the whole. So they can't carry it and they can't look at it even for a moment or they will die. So that is just two examples, but that first paragraph, there's holy ground, the holy assembly, the holy Sabbath day, the holy nation, all of these things are holy, and with each one of those, there's some sort of explanation similar to what we just covered there. Now, here we are in our third week on this subject of holy, and we haven't yet really done a good job of defining the word holy. So what I'd like for you to do in the next few moments is pull together in circles of 3, 4, 5 and try to define holy. Gave you a little space to write. If you would, leave a little space so that when we come together and pool our resources, you'll have time to add what maybe someone else saw that you didn't see. Okay? Define holy. I don't know what that word is. Help me out. You've got a little bit of a clue with what we just talked about, but you're going to have to draw from elsewhere as well. What is holy? Okay? See what you come up with. 3, 4, 5 of you. Pull together. All right? Okay. So, dictionary.com. Thank you, Randy, says, transcendent is going beyond ordinary limits, surpassing, exceeding, superior, supreme. In the theological sense of the word, it's of God transcending the universe and time, etc. And pretty good it. Thank you, Randy. So, let's see if we can pull this together. Is it possible? Now, Rawls, check me on this, because you said the thing has to apply all the way. Our first reaction when you say holy, it wasn't this morning, but our first reaction is often that holy is pure. You know, that person is holy, or God is holy and without sin. As we have mentioned, moral purity, like the Bible says, holy men and women of old, right? That's speaking of their ethical purity, not necessarily perfection, but their ethical purity, free from stain and so on. And that would go along with, so the first aspect let's think of is this purity, what word did you give it? Purity and purpose? Purity. And and that might be following this verse. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? And who may stand in His holy place? His holy place. Well, the one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to falsehood and has not sworn deceitfully. So the ethical purity, that aspect of holiness is definitely there. So let's just write the word purity for now, okay? But then, as a number of you have said, there's something about this set-apartness or uniqueness or separateness, and you just have to go to that opening paragraph, those two things, and realize there is something that all of a sudden this linen garment wasn't holy, but now it's holy after something happened to it. And it is no longer what it was, even though to you and me it might look exact. It's not shimmering and glowing anymore, but it's set apart and it's holy in one sense. The sanctuary, the gifts, the bread. Did the bread start to rise on its own above the table? Probably not, but it was holy. So there is this sense of uniqueness or distinction. You can use the word set apart. But I wonder if there is a third sense, and that's where I would go with Lindsay on that word transcendent. And that kind of gives more to the set apart and distinction that might be lacking in what you're saying. And that's that there just is no competitor at all regarding Him. He is completely above. He's so foreign to anything we know or have experienced or can comprehend. And that's the sense of the transcendence. It's just completely no one. And that we would read words like these from the Scripture. There is no one holy like the Lord. Indeed, there is no one besides Thee. Nor is there any rock like our God. That's from 1 Samuel. How about Exodus? Who is like Thee among the gods, O Lord? Who is like Thee majestic? There's that transcendence. Majestic in holiness. Awesome in praises. Working wonders. There's that sense of just wow, transcending every border of imagination and everything. How about, there is no one like Thee among the gods, O Lord, nor are there any works like Thine. Thou alone art God. That's from the Psalms. So in that sense, transcendent is beyond limits, completely above and beyond us or any other, supremely great, absolutely beyond. You start running out of words, you know. Higher than all the others, consuming majesty, infinite exaltedness. Is that a little bit of, does holy compass more than just one of those, but maybe all of those? What do you think? More than even that, right? So if I were to take what you've said and try to distill it, I would say those three words, purity, and you can use all the qualifiers, absolute, you know, all those, but purity, separateness or distinctiveness or otherness, and then even that's inadequate. So then there's transcendent and above all and overall. Yes.
Great version of Ephesians 3:20 that says he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think.
Yes, yes. Exceeding abundantly beyond all that we could ask or think. Why? Because he is that one, exceeding, abundant, beyond, all, and all of those words. Jerry?
I was thinking when we talk about set apart to a high and lofty purpose, because a honey bucket is set aside, is set apart for a purpose. But a silver chalice is also set apart. There's
yeah.
A world of difference between those
two. Right.
I'm talking about, you don't know what a honey bucket is. Thank you. It's not.
We're keeping moving on along here. So does that help you guys with your distinction of the word purpose? Set apart for a purpose, a noble, high purpose. Well, good things to think about. And let's ask this question then in response to that. This first paragraph of things, the holy crown, the holy food, the holy altar, and all that, are any of those things holy in and of themselves? No. How do they become holy? Well, there was a process, right? And the process had, you know, maybe an animal was killed and the blood was sprinkled, or they were to, you know, stay in the tent for 7 days. There was a process in all of those things. But ultimately, when on the other side of that event, what was it that caused that thing to be holy? Was it the blood of the ram that was slain, or staying in the tabernacle for 7 days? What was it that gave it its holiness ultimately?
The declaration by God that they were holy.
God declared it holy. And that's important, because if I had declared it holy, it just the sound waves just bounced right off and just kept on going or died out. But when God declares it holy, and why is it? Because only God is holy in and of himself, and therefore only he can make something else holy. So things or people, whether it's that linen garment or you and me that need to become holy, the only way we are going to become holy is if God takes some action on our behalf, right? Now, we have responsibility, as the verse says, consecrate yourselves and be holy, but we could try all we want. And if God does not participate in establishing our holiness, we've expended a whole lot of energy that is not going to go anywhere, right? Now, let's think about this word holy as it relates to God. If I were to ask you to give me attributes of God, what, call out some of the attributes of God. Love, omniscient,
omnipotence,
which means, in my language, I can do any, all powerful. Give me words I can use, okay? Yeah, really. Which means,
unchanging.
It doesn't change, okay?
All knowing.
There we go.
Sovereign
overall. What else is he? Jealous.
Eternal.
faithful, eternal,
holy,
just,
good,
righteous, merciful. Now, we do often list holy as one of those attributes of God, as in his moral purity. But there is another sense in which holiness, God's holiness, is completely distinct from his other attributes. That sounds like gibberish, right? Holy, as it relates to God, is separate from his other attributes because it is actually a synonym for his deity, for his being above all. And that's why it calls attention to who God is and all that God is. And that's why we use holy with these other attributes. His love is holy love. His mercy is holy mercy. His justice is holy justice. Do you see that? You might need to, if you're like me, that one didn't sink in real well at first. But in one sense, holy relates to God as an attribute of his purity. But in another sense, it's part and parcel of who he is. He is holy, I am. And all of those other attributes are part of his being this in transcendent, above all one. Ken?
And his
effortless. Right. It's just part of who he is. He doesn't work at it. He doesn't slip up. He doesn't have to try. All those things. So, when we think now of our year verse, I am Yahweh. I am the Lord. This is who he is. And remember, the backdrop was all of those things that we've been studying the last couple of weeks. How he brought them out of Egypt. How the Mount Sinai shook and thundered and quaked and smoked and all of those things. The bush that was burning and the ground that was holy and don't come any closer, Moses, and all of those things. That's the backdrop of what those people heard when they heard, I am Yahweh. So that when he said, consecrate yourselves, which as I said, is that word holy. Holify yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am holy. All of that has to do first and foremost with who he is and then who we must respond. Consecrate yourselves therefore and be holy, for I am holy. So it's not that we try harder. What is the what have we gone through in our history? Well, we're gonna work ourselves into a great society that war, this will be the war to end all wars. The Enlightenment, the Renaissance, all of these things we're going to achieve and get better and better. No. Consecrate yourselves, therefore, for I am holy. And God gives the means by which people like you and me can be holy.